Amen. Thank you so much for leading us to the cross of Jesus, to the throne of Jesus. Good morning, church. How are y'all doing? I'd like to thank y'all so much for having me here, but also I just want to just kind of brag what God has been doing at this D now. We have been going through justification by faith, kind of diving into that. What does that mean? How are we justified by faith? What has God done in that? And it's been a great time in that. Now, I want to kind of introduce myself to y'all as well. So my name is Logan Oye. I'm currently a MDiv student, a Master's of Divinity student in apologetics at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, where Brother Kev has graduated from. I'm related to Isaiah Ardwam, Brother Isaiah, if y'all know him. I hope y'all do. And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to go through your word. We're going to be in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. As you're turning to that, I want to read Romans 1 to y'all. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our anthem call. This is our war cry as Christians. This is what separates us from the world. This is what separates us from other religions. Is that we have made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been justified through faith. This is the separation. And a lot of questions go through our mind in that. Like, what? Why? How? Like, this doesn't make sense that I have to do something. I mean, as natural people, we say, like, can't I just live the way I want to live yet call myself a Christian? That's an extreme right there. Or we'll say this, I am a good person. I have done non-horrible things. I'm not like this person who's gone to jail. I'm not like this tax collector. I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus. We have two polar extremes in this. But they're two polar extremes that don't line up with the word. They don't line up with scripture. I think we have a very comfortable condition called cultural Christianity. That's where we kind of see that. The I'm a good person, I don't need Jesus. Or we see the I'm a Christian, but I don't live out my faith. I think a book by Dean says it all. This person is also called an unsaved Christian. That kind of bothers you to your stomach, that I'm called an unsaved Christian. But that's true. We have this culture of Christianity that we have in our minds that we're saved. In reality, we don't live it. But I have to ask this, what does that look like? What does Christianity look like? We know that we live in a broken world and that we're sinful creatures. I mean, look at the world around us. There's war, famine, homelessness, trafficking. We know that there's sin in the world, and we know that there's brokenness. And yet, we look to the world and we say, we need a hero. We need a savior. We see in the big screens all the time that we need a hero. We have that hero. We have a savior, and Jesus is that person. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. He is our savior. He is that hero that we desperately need. So how does he save us? How did God make this way for us? I keep saying we are justified by faith. We're justified by faith alone. We have been saved by faith and faith alone. But in our minds, we were like, it can't be that simple. Let's go through Ephesians because it is that simple. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much that you've sent your Son to die for us. Lord, let these words be not just of me, but of your words. Thus saith the Lord, that we have been saved, that we respond in obedience to this, Lord. Lord, thank you so much that you've sent your Son that we did not deserve. We do this in his holy name. Amen. So I have 4 points to go through. And the first one is very simple. By grace of God, by the grace of God, you've been saved. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. What is grace? Grace is getting something that we do not deserve. What do we deserve as sinful creatures? Punishment. Remember, we are sinful creatures, and that sin separates us, is making a wedge between us and God. And we stand before a just God. We will stand before him, and he will lead us either to heaven or hell in that. Because of sin, we stand before a mighty, just God who's eternal. And we, sinful creatures, are unrighteous. We are imperfect. And in that imperfection, he is just to say that we deserve hell. But God is also gracious. He has shown us mercy. He has shown us mercy through Jesus, sending his Son to die for us. He took on the punishment we deserve on that cross, and he experienced the full wrath of God on that cross. There's a theological term we call penal substitutionary atonement. It is the idea that Jesus paid our debt and experienced the full wrath of God on that cross. He took on the wages of sin and death so that we may have a way to God. This is a gift given to us, wrapped in flesh. Which gets to point two, by faith in Jesus. Continuing on, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So this is something that is through, and that not yourselves, but a gift to God. So again, this is a gift that we have. It's been received to us. It's wrapped in flesh. It gives us hope that God so cares for us and he loves us. And that gift is Jesus, the man God. The scriptures make it clear that Jesus is God. The apostles teach that. Jesus speaks about who he is. He does several things that indicate this. He forgives sins. When the paralyzed man came down from the roof, Jesus didn't just say, stand up and walk immediately. What did he say? Your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees look at that and say, only God can forgive sins. Jesus hearing that says, which is easier, to say that this man's sins are forgiven or get up and walk? He says, your sins are forgiven. The book of John really clearly indicates who Jesus is as the Messiah, as God. He performs miracles after miracles. And in those miracles, people go up to him and worship him. And instead of pushing back and saying, you can only worship God. You can only do this to God. I am denying this worship. No, he says that in our response to that, he doesn't stop us because he knows that he's worthy of worship. This is our hope. And it goes back to Romans 5, that through this, Jesus pleased the wrath of God. Jesus saved us from sin. We stand before a righteous God, and he's shown us mercy. Now, to obtain this faith, it says this, repent and believe in the gospel. These two go hand in hand. Repentance and belief. Faith in Jesus. Faith in the gospel that Jesus came and died for us. It's like driving a car without tires. These two going hand in hand. So can you go far without tires in your car? You can't go at all. Can a tire move without a car? It can, but it won't go far. You'll eventually get tired. They go hand in hand. You need one without the other. And this is something that we don't attain. We don't do to boast about. It's not of our doing. It's a gift given to God. Verse 9, not of a work lest anyone should boast. This is point number 3. Not of our own works. This is something that we can't do. Something that we don't boast about. I think we do try to boast about it. We try to uplift ourselves and make ourselves seem like a good person when we live separately in the behind the scenes in our own rooms. In Egyptian mythology, whenever you pass away, Anubis, the god of death, he will judge you by weighing your heart to a feather of moth. It's on a scale, one side or the other. If your heart is heavier than that feather, that means you're doomed and that you've been justified and unrighteous. And if the feather's heavier, you have been shown that you have justice and you have been pure. That's how we try to image ourselves based off of a scale. Again, we can't do that. It's like trying to clean a house with a dirty rag. That's how we present it. How does the Bible say that our works are like? It's like a filthy rag in Isaiah. Have you ever tried to clean a house with a rag? Doesn't work out well, especially if you just use that one rag the entire time. You can go across the countertops. You can go across the floors with it. You can clean your entire bathroom with that one rag. And then you would go to God and hand it as a gift, saying, here you go. This is what I have to offer. This is what I've done. No one wants that gift. Try to hand that to your father or mother. They don't want that. They might lie to you about it if you're a little, but you don't want that. That's how we try to please our works. That's how we try to please God. We try to justify ourselves in that. But what does the scripture say about us being good? It says none is good. Jesus says this, none is good. No, not one. I think I also hear this a lot, and I mean a lot, from believers or Christians that claim to be a believer. I ask them, how do you know you're saved? And they will respond with, I was baptized. Or they'll say, oh, I go to communion. I experience and do in remembrance. That's not how we do that. We do that as a response and obedience to God, because that's what we're called to do. We are baptized, and that is a sign and a seal of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That is not salvation. That is a sign and seal of us. We're not getting sprinkled on. Or we'll do communion. Communion is in remembrance of Jesus' death and burial. It's a remembrance of his blood and flesh shed for us. We don't do it to re-crucify Jesus. We do it to remember Jesus. Jesus finished his work on that cross, did he not? His last words were, it is finished. It is complete. The Greek, the English doesn't do it justice. The Greek does. It is in a perfect tense, meaning that it has been done. It is completed in the past during David and Abraham's time. It is completed to the present of their time, Paul and Peter's time. And it is continuously on, finishing in that race. It is finished. The Greek word is tetelestai. We need that in our lives. Amen. I think we try to add to the work of Christ. Again, I say it over and over again, that we try to add it to what we do. We say that we're good people. We say it to not just gain favoritism with God, but we do it as an elitist. I'm in seminary, and the unfortunate thing I see a lot is elitism. They try to better themselves because they think they are theologically trained. I can also see the opposite end of where people don't need theology, and yet they try to prove that you need that. The scariest thing I've ever heard was, I am more missions-focused than I am theology-focused. That is a scary thing to say. How do you know Jesus in that? Jesus spurs us to do a response within us because it dwells in us that we read his word and we know more about him. Theology is the study of God. So it gnaws at our stomach and it comes out and we must do something about it. It just doesn't sit there. We have to act, which is point number four. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So let's think of it like a math problem. This is my apologetics coming out. By the way, apologetics is not, I'm not apologizing. It means defend the faith. So let's think of it like a math problem. People think about it like this. Faith plus works, I am saved. I have faith in Jesus, I gotta do something. I have to do this to gain favoritism with salvation. I have to get the salvation. So I have to have faith in Jesus. I have to have my works. I have to do good things. I have to be a good person, and I'm saved. This is what the scripture teaches, especially here in Ephesians. Faith. We have faith. Now we've gotten salvation plus salvation. Now we live it out. We have to live it out. I've heard a great analogy when I first came to seminary is there's the head, the heart, and then the hands. It has to be here. We look at the scriptures and we put it to head knowledge. But that head knowledge needs to transform our hearts. There's 13 inches between head and heart. There's 13 inches between here and hell. That heart, that gnawing in our feeling, in our stomach is conviction to where we must live it out in our hands, that we must do something. We must live out our faith. It's not to be an elitist. We don't do this because God wants us to. We don't do this because we have to do these things to be saved. We do it because God calls us to. Baptism. Let's go back to baptism. We don't get baptized because we get to be saved as a result. We get baptized as a response and obedience to our salvation and our faith. We experience communion. We don't do communion to re-crucify Jesus. He finished that work on that cross. We do communion. We experience communion as brothers and sisters in Christ to do in remembrance of the shedding of his blood and flesh on that cross. When we do we also are called to do other things because we're called to care for the widow. We're called to care for the homeless. We're called to walk in sanctification. Sanctification, it means walking in holiness, conforming more and more into the image of Jesus. That is God's original plan for us, is to look like Jesus, not like ourselves. We're called to die to ourselves and take up our cross daily and go there and die. We're to look to like Jesus. The ending of verse 10 gives us a good image. It says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hebrews also gives that illustration It's not just sitting still and just standing idly by. He tells us to run a race that he prepared beforehand. In that race, you will stumble, you will fall, you will trip, but you get back up, dust yourself off, and you keep going. There's a race many years ago where an athlete, he was in the front leading the race. Though he fell over, tripped, sprained his ankle, everybody passed him by, yet he got up and kept going. He did not stop. Hours went by. We're seeing all the racers come by. They keep going. They keep cycling in. A couple hours go by. They're finishing the race. And here comes that last racer, stumbling over, crossing that finish line. They interviewed him and asked him, "Why didn't you stop? Why did you keep going?" And he said, "I trained for this. I am finishing that race." Isn't that what we're supposed to do? When we fall over in our Christian walk, we don't just go back to the sidelines. We get up and we finish that race. Join me in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Lord, let these words ring true to us, that we are saved by your grace that is a gift to us. Through faith in Jesus, that it's not of ourselves, but that is something you get to brag about. This is something we don't get to boast about. You do. This is so that we can conform it to his image. I'm going to read Ephesians one more time. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Lord, if that feeling of just conviction is overwhelming someone today, let it just not just sit there in their heart or sit there in their head. Let it convert them. Lord, we don't want to be convinced that your son is Lord. That's easy. We want to go through conversion. We want to experience the image of God. Lord, we thank you so much for your son who died on that cross. He took on the cup that we deserve, the wrath of God. And he saved us. He did not stay in that tomb. He rose 3 days later, defeating death. And we get to just say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, that you loved us and sent your son to die for us. He is holy." Lord, if that's sitting on someone's stomach, sitting in their heart, let it spur into action to where they talk to someone about it. Brother Kevin, Brother Isaiah, all of our pastors are here up front. They're here on the sides, Lord. They need to talk to someone about it. Let them go. Let them be discipled to where they don't just convert or stay conformed to who they are, but let them die to themselves. Lord, we love you. We do this in your son's holy, holy name.